All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how the heck are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanksgiving's done. I am over the cold I had this week, and we are in the most exciting time of the fantasy football season.
Indeed we are. We have pretty much peppered this season with the sporadic podcast, bringing you the highlights of weeks 1 through 5, following the highlights of the draft. And here we are in week 12, bringing you the highlights of the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's a shame that we haven't been able to podcast more. It's been a kind of a strange year for scheduling and that sort of thing. That's the one regret of this fantasy season, because otherwise it's been a fantastic fantasy year for our league. And especially as we come to the finish line, still thrilling and invigorating and exciting to see how this week's matchups turn out and then the implications from those.
Seriously, it honestly brings a quite a bit of irony, because it's been such an incredible season with fantasy speaking. And in spite of that, we've yet to be able to really get consistent in our broadcast. And I blame myself for the majority of that. I picked on you early on in the season for having a child. But really, that was just a scapegoat. All respect to your newborn, of course. I was the busy one up front, and then the traveling man for the past month. In fact, today is the first full Friday I've had at home in weeks. And so I am very, very glad to be back on the ground. I'm looking forward to finishing our playoff series with a little bit more consistency.
That's right. We started out strong. We tapered off in the middle, but we will finish strong, by golly, in the podcast and our fantasy teams as well. Because I think we can take a moment to have a short, catch up hat tip to ourselves here.
As we should.
I mean, we're rolling, man. Like, our teams are rolling, right? Because I put up the highest score of the season last week. I mean, I had two duds the week, 2 weeks before that, but we're not going to worry about that. I put up a highest score of the season last week, and after scoring less than, 100 points last week.
Don't even worry about it.
We're not.
The fantasy gods are bouncing,
And then you, sir, are putting up 150 points every week now.
You keep on pointing that out in the power rankings, and I'm like, stop it, man! Stop it!
Because it's unbelievable. Like,
you're painting a target on my back, Pete.
But we get these preconceived notions early on in the season of which teams are good and which teams aren't. And I got to tell you, through 7 weeks, you were not one of the good teams, right? But we looked at your weekly scoring game log for the first 7 of the weeks of the season, and just stop me when you hear a good score, right? Because it's 112, 114, 114, 127, 121.
Hey, stop, hold. 127 is middle average on the weak side. Continue. I'm just trying to follow the rules of the game. Go on.
I said good score. Good is better than average. All right. So you were right. Your high score for the first 7 weeks was the lead average score, 127 points, right? And then it's like,
I made some moves.
No, the move that happened was Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
That's right.
And you lost him for the season. And then all of a sudden, the last 4 weeks, you're at 151, 162, 155, 154. Just consistent pounding the scoreboard. And there wasn't one move that you made that was like, oh, that's the reason he started scoring points.
I beg to differ. I made a couple of moves that I feel like have paid off for me in a big way.
I agree, but you can't point to it as like, oh, okay, this is the
reason that's fair.
You went from scoring 115 points a week to now scoring 155.
That's fair. No, my players started playing. I feel like, I acquired Carlos Hyde. I picked up Big Ben right in the swing of the Steelers getting a heck of a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
And, you had, honestly, this wasn't a move, but this was my sleeper that I picked up in Kamara. He got traded, and all of a sudden that picked up on points, so he became an RB1 overnight. So there was a lot of things mid of the season that started working for me.
Yeah, well, it's working in a big way, and it's awesome to see
Jimmy Graham. You want to talk about Jimmy Graham? That was a move that felt good. Let's talk about Jimmy Graham, Pete.
Sean McCoy's working out great for me
too.
So
that's probably true.
Good trade for both of us there. Jimmy Graham's been a beast. Way better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, way better than CJ Henderson.
Yeah, he's going the other way. But yeah. But yeah, we both got something good out of that trade. So
that's to say, can we tip our hat to one another, good sir?
Yes, indeed.
Considering the fact that with one outlier that you've experienced in recent history, you, sir, are sitting 8-3. You're up there with Chris Clark. Your schedule for the remainder of the season, I think, arguably is a little bit easier than Chris's walking out. And you are guaranteed a position in the playoffs at 100%. How do you feel, Pete?
I'm playing for the playoffs. It'd be great to get that first round bye. I'm falling prone to looking ahead. I'm focused on week 15 right now. I'm excited for the lead for the next 2 weeks, but for my team, it's not going to be a huge deal. So I'm trying to get as prepared for the playoffs as I can right now. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for Andy and Jared. We should probably jump into the current standings position, because with your hot streak, you've thrown yourself right into the playoff picture in a big way. Sitting in there, I forget what where you would be in the standings, but your playoff odds sit at 76%. So that's pretty strong. That is the fourth highest that's the highest after the 100%er. So you got both Chris's, Clark and Windsor, and myself sitting at 100% playoff odds. Looking pretty solid there. It'd be have to be a catastrophe for Windsor to not make it. So, all right, then you're next in the fourth spot at 6-5. That gives you a 76% playoff odds to get in. Brock also sits at 6-5 in the fifth spot with a 73% chance to get in. Ben also at 6-5 is in the number six seed right now with a 62% chance to get in. And then at number seven and number eight, nipping at the heels, knocking on the door to the playoffs, right on the bubble, with as many cliches as I can, we've got Andy and Jared, who sit at number one and number two in points scored for the whole season. So if they can get their record to a tie with you, Ben, or Brock, they will be in the playoffs, and they do control their own destiny, where if they both win out, they'll be in the playoffs, given how the schedule falls out. So we got five teams fighting for three spots. Two are going to be on the outside, and it is conceivable that you could all end up with the exact same record. It comes down to tiebreakers across the board, which would just be the most thrilling possible finish.
I don't want that finish.
You're shaking your head, but you'll be fine, because Ben and Brock would lose all the tiebreakers based on points scored.
Not Andy.
No, but you, Andy, and Jared would get in based on the points scored tiebreakers.
Is that right? I thought Andy, if Andy won out, he would beat me.
Well, yeah, Andy would beat you, but if you all five of you end up with the same record, Ben and Brock would be.
That would be thrilling. I'd be up for that. Okay.
Yeah. Right. You all end up with a 7-6 record, which would be awesome. Five teams with the same record.
That'd be insane.
And then we'll just listen to Ben and Brock
fly all along.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, Pete, with such a division between the front runners and then the serfs down here trying to just fight their way for a scrap, how do you feel lording down on the rest of us peasants,
the records have fallen out that way, but I tell you, I'm scared to death to play you, Andy, or Jared in the playoffs. Like, I don't want any of you, because of how strong your teams are, and look at the points that Andy and Jared have put up all season long, the points you've put up in the last 4 weeks. I mean, y'all are the hottest things running. You just had some really bad luck with the matchups and when you've taken your losses.
Andy and nobody is close to Andy and Jared when it comes to their points four. They are crushing it. Their matchups speak pretty loudly when it comes to points against. I mean, you've got this incredible. I mean, as you said, Pete, I couldn't say it better. I mean, you strung a series of cliches and phrases in there that would have made the best of sports commentators proud. I cannot say it better. All that to say, you have encapsulated the excitement of this season. And, woe to us that we were not able to walk through it step by step each and every week with Truth and Reconciliation. But, man, What a season. This has been a blast. I got to tell you, I told you this earlier this week. I have never been more anxious about every single lineup decision and setup going into every week. And even traveling, I feel like getting home on a Sunday and turning on my phone to check the scores has been better for my blood pressure and my stress than watching the whole afternoon of football. And especially looking at it this week, playing Andy, I've been nervous about this matchup. He's got a sole player on Monday night that I just know is going to come down to that performance. And it's been fun. It's been tough, but it's been a lot of fun.
Now that you're going to be able to, are you going to be tracking the game on Sunday? Are you going to force yourself to stick to the radio silence until you get to the end of the day?
You know, if I were a superstitious man, I would say that the butterfly effect of me watching always has a negative effect on my score. And you're hearing me say that right now. So come Monday, if I'm losing tremendously, you'll know why. But I enjoy football too much and have to take advantage of every Sunday afternoon that I have at home, which are rare in the fall. So I'm going to enjoy watching some football.
Oh, man. Well, it's a huge matchup for you and Andy. We should probably just start jumping in and talking about matchups.
Sounds there's fair.
So much to break down. But you and Andy, I would say, is the game of the week on a week where we've got several important ones, just because you both have the firepower to put up a big score. You're kind of looking like you're headed that way. And the implications are massive here. Andy's pretty much in a must-win situation, whereas if you win, you almost guarantee a playoff spot. So, given that your Andy's projected score 149 right now, your projected score 139, that's certainly not such a disadvantage in the scoring that it ruled you out any chance. It's definitely a coin flip right now. Big game. What do you think are the keys to success for your team here?
You know, keys to success is that I continue to put up my average for the past 5 weeks. That is really what I'm hoping for. Obviously, Ben is going up against Green Bay this week, so we expect Big Ben to do big things. Yep. Against the Green Bay defense, which has been lackluster to say the least, as we saw in the auction report this week. Everybody was clamoring to get a piece of that DST action, and Chewy came out big on top with a big bid for that. So this is the first time, and I was struggling hardcore with it, but I've got Kamara in my RB1 spot this week. Now, he is an RB1 in my opinion, but he's been riding my flex, and it's been bringing me goodwill. And now we've got the big spotlight on him up on top. I've got Carlos Hyde in behind him, choosing to bench CJ Anderson and Damian Williams this week in kind of a back and forth. Obviously, Isaiah Crowell is a touchdown hit or miss. And if he doesn't score a touchdown, then he's not worth his salt. And he's coming off of a hurting week against Jacksonville. And I'm just not feeling good about him this week against Cincinnati. And so put him on the bench. Golden Tate already performed pretty admirably given the DST that he was opened up against in Minnesota, but did not get a touchdown this week. I've got Elshon Jeffrey and Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones Jr. had a huge week for me in Minnesota despite the loss. I was excited about that because that helped me match up against Kyle Rudolph and his big performance for Andy on the tight end spot. Jimmy Graham is doing great. He's the number one tight end right now, and I'm excited about that, even though I've heard reports that Greg Olsen is going to be playing this week. But I want to make sure that he's in the running before I start considering that a flex option for me. Make sure that he's healthy and take advantage of the fact that I can keep him in my IR slot until I move him out, and then I'll have to make a cut. So I'm going to hang on to that for a little bit longer. So keys to the game for me, to answer your question, I need to get, squeeze every point out of every player. I mean, that's the only way. I think Andy's going to put up big board. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I find it pretty ironic that we are both two players in and we are within a tenth of a point of each other, with two big performances already. So I'm nervous about it for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome to see. You both have eight players left, and you are so close in points now. I see, you know, Andy's got Latavius Murray on his bench with 14 points scored. I wonder if he's not going to end up regretting playing Lamar Miller instead of Latavius Murray, but we will see what happens there. I think Big Ben is obviously in such a great spot on your side, your best player this week, most likely. But Andy matches you with Tom Brady at home against Miami, right, whose defense has been terrible. So, I think you should both expect big scores from your quarterbacks. And then, you know, as far as the rest, it's kind of a toss up. I don't see anything that really stands out as a great matchup that is going to propel you up to the 150, 160 point range again. So, this will be really interesting to see how it shakes out. I give Andy the edge because he's got both Brady and Brandon Cooks going against Miami, and they may connect on a long touchdown pass or two, which is double dip in the points there. So, Kamara is also strong for you. That kind of offsets Cooks in my opinion, and I don't know. We'll just see what happens. You both got two touchdowns on Thanksgiving from a player there, which is really huge that you matched each other there, or else someone would be in the hole for sure. So this is going to be a heavyweight bout for sure. Andy got two touchdowns from Rudolph first. He threw the first blow. You came back with two touchdowns from Jones, and back and forth it goes. Hopefully it stays that way through the whole weekend, and it ends as close as it looks right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned him. Andy might be regretting the start-sit decision between Murray and Miller. I fear that it's going to come down to that on both sides, whether it be Andy's start-sit decision or my start-sit decision. I bet you one way or another there's going to be a player that we coulda, shoulda, woulda riding one of our benches that would have made the difference.
Oh, yeah. In a close matchup like this, there always is, right? Mm-hmm.
Any predictions on who that's going to be on my side? Do you think it'll be Crowell this week or Wallace maybe?
If you're wrestling with your starts, I'm not going to say anything.
Some juju on me. We'll see. All right, man. Well, thanks for giving us the game of the week. It is certainly a nail biter. I'm glad to know the one thing that encourages me, as badly as I want to win this game and lock in a playoff lock, is that I'm not do or die this week.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm definitely do or be very nervous next week. So I'd rather do.
That's right.
Wise words. I'd rather do it.
Yes. Yes.
All right, well, where do you want to hop over to next, sir?
All right, let's talk about Jared and Brock, which is the next matchup between two playoff competitors. This one, it looks like it will not be nearly as close. Jared is off to a very strong start with 32 points from Phillip Rivers and 17 points from Adam Thielen, while Brock struggled with only 6 points from Alfred Morris and 4 from Theo Riddick. Jared's projected win by 30. Right now, the two teams here are kind of trending in different directions. Jared has put up really strong scores the last 2 weeks, while Brock has really struggled without Ezekiel Elliott, similar to the Dallas Cowboys themselves. So I would give Jared the edge here. He's sitting at 5-6, Brock at 6-5, so that definitely is a vote on the side of Team Squish, which we always love.
Yeah, and I think that the boost that Jared got out of Phillip Rivers, it was a preemptive nail in the coffin. And I think that I'm going to predict that Jared actually has the top score of the week.
That's a strong position. I can't go against that. I think that's a good way to go, especially when you already have 32 in the bag from your quarterback.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about Ben and Michael. Ben is off to a ridiculous start after getting 34 points from Keenan Allen. Another 11 points from Jason Witten. He's up 45-29, and Michael's already had his quarterback play. However, right now Ben is projected to win 131-114. And maybe this is just my bias here. I'm really pulling for Michael because I want Ben to lose because he's at 6-5, and so I'm always team switch factor. but Michael does have some good matchups in Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, and Rob Gronkowski this week, who are all in really good spots. So it does give me hope that Michael at least has a fighting chance here against Ben. We'll see how it shakes out. I think the start that Ben's off to is probably going to be insurmountable for Michael. Given he's only got he's already had started two running backs and got a combined 11 points from them. That's pretty rough. But I do have hope here for Michael, considering Ben's team hasn't been running too hot lately, although Keenan Allen's resurgence certainly goes a long way.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I'm all for Team Squish, too, because I like drama. I like a close, nail-biting finish. I should, you know, for the sake of Ben, I can't imagine it feels great to be rooted against just for the sole factor of having squished records. I know that's probably not the most exciting thing to receive, but I agree with you that the drama is what we're all about. So,
oh, well, I have a personal stake in Ben missing the playoffs as well. So it's not just the squish factor.
That's right. Does he actually pay you back? Is that how that works?
Yeah. So I covered his entry fee, and I had forgot that I covered it until he mentioned it when I saw him a couple weeks ago. And he mentioned it, and so it's like, oh, yeah, you know, pay me back sometime. And then the opportunity presented itself, and I was like, hey, I'm going to bet against you making the playoffs. And it was a pretty bold bet. He was like two games up at the time, but he did lose last week like I thought he would. So that kind of helped the bet. And, you know, even if he wins this week, I'm not dead in that bet because he'll be at seven wins. If he loses the following week, he would lose to Brock. Which would then theoretically put Brock at seven wins as well. And then if Andy and Jared and you take care of business and get to seven wins as well, then hey, Ben's out of the playoffs and I win the bet.
There it is.
And that's what we're rooting for. So my personal interests are aligned with also my lead interests and just making it close and exciting and fun to the end.
Yep. Well, I agree. And I think that, like you said, that it'll be hard for Fitz to come over the top of Felker this week. I think the only matchup that gives him potential, at least keeps him in the running, is the Atlanta-Tampa Bay game this week with both Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones. I think that if they have as big of a game as I think they might, that maybe Fitzsimmons has a chance.
Maybe so. But then, of course, Ben does have Matt Ryan on the other side. So if they're catching...
That's true. It's an even trade, isn't it? That's right.
So we just want lots of catches for Jones and Sanu with and making sure Ryan only throws touchdowns to them. So
maybe there'll be like a direct snap to the running back situation. And
yeah, and then they throw it to Jones.
We'll get to see a few. Yeah.
Maybe Sanu, hey, you know what? Sanu is a former quarterback. He can throw the ball. It needs to be a trick play twice of Sanu throwing long passes to Jones. And
if there's anything Atlanta's known for, it's their trick plays.
Right. Exactly. That's the reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always work, too. They always work. So they should...
Yeah, I think Ben's got this one in the bag.
All right.
All right.
That's enough of that nonsense. All right, let's talk about Chris Windsor's matchup this week going against Derek.
Now, this matchup is interesting because Chris has been on a pretty good streak up until last week. He's 7-4. He's locked in for the playoffs. But now his quarterback is being touted as a bust, and he's off to a challenging start deep into the playoff run. And now he's looking to having to pick up and stream quarterbacks week to week going into the playoffs. How do you feel about his team in the long run, and then we'll talk about it in the short run?
You know, I think Dak has had two really tough matchups the last couple of weeks, and has not had a lot of support around him. I think he's gonna be fine in the long run. He's not gonna win any matchups on his own. But as you know, Chris is looking at Dak's matchups in week 14 and 15 of the playoffs. He's you know facing the Giants and facing the Raiders, who are by no stretch strong defenses. So I think Dak will be fine. It's not the time to panic there. However, it is unfortunate that Chris acquired Dak with a kind of panic move of trading Juju Smith-Schuster for him, which is looking not so hot right now since Juju has been a very solid since that trade. You know, this one doesn't have huge playoff implications. Chris is in. However, it could shift the seeding around a little bit if he drops the next couple games. He could end up 7-6 as well. He does still have the edge here over Derek with a projected point total of 112 versus 97. Although Chris has had four players play already and they've totaled 39 points, so that's not too reassuring on his side. While Derek actually has a player with a zero projection in his lineup right now. So if he does replace That player, ironically enough, is Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's right.
Oh, and he also has Devontae Freeman in his lineup, who has a zero projection as well. So Derek could present a challenge here for Chris, and would just only make things more interesting as we go into the final week if Chris starts to fall back into the pack as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the trouble with Derek is that not only is Devonta Freeman and Juju out this week, but his only two options for replacements are going to be Rod Smith, who has already played, and you got Cole Beasley, who would have been a pretty good alternative in theory, but has also already played. And so he's left with having to decide if he's going to swap out Jordan Matthews for Juju. But in terms of running back options, he has few and far between, Matt Forte being the only one who would be on his bench at the time, who I think would even be eligible.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. He might hit the waiver wire or go with the kind of scrubs he's out left.
And it's just a stick it to you mentality too. And I know that Derek is one that is an honorable man, a respectful man. I'm not sure what stakes he's playing for at this point other than the win column respect. But I do think that power to him for trying.
Yep, absolutely. All right, the last two matchups include Chewy going against Brent and myself going against Scott. I don't think we need to spend too much time on these since Chewy and I are sitting in the number one spots and Brent and Scott don't have a chance of making the playoffs. However, I will just give a brief shout-out to Brent as the lone team with three wins right now, which is really a pity considering his points against is just so high at 1,520 points against. For context, the most points any team has scored so far this season is 1,487. His points against continues to be the lead leader in points scored. So tough year for Brent. Another, as well, a tough year for Scott. Shout out to him as well, considering he lost David Johnson early, and it appears David Johnson is not going to return at all this season. We should also mention Derek and Michael appear to be drawing dead as well, but we do appreciate their competitive spirits for sticking out through the rest of the season to not spoil the fun for the rest of us.
That's right. And it is appreciated. Fun fact on the points for, points against, and I appreciate the nod to Brent. Between Chewy, who is sitting at the top of our charts, and Brent, the over-under between points for, points against for Chewy, he's at a positive 178.2. Care to guess what Brent is at?
It's negative something.
That is correct.
Negative.
You are half right.
Negative 150.
Negative 178.3 within a negative tenth of a point of Chewy, who's at the top. 178.2 versus negative 178.3.
You could squint your eyes and see their 8-3 and 3-8 records being very different if they played each other's schedule.
That's right. That is right indeed. Well, that takes us over to just your lineup discussion, Pete. I'd like to hear your thoughts on your choices this week. You've got Russell Wilson on top. Of course, you've got Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy, arguably the two best 1 and 2 RB spots you could possibly have right there. You are playing Eric Decker this week, as you recently acquired him after a debate with Brock regarding Eric Decker and his value to the NFL. And you had a goose egg bomb from, well, not a goose egg. You had a struggling performance from Evan Engram this week as well. But you got Antonio Brown in your freaking flex. So you're feeling pretty good about your lineup, Pete?
Yeah, you know, I could be feeling better. I shouldn't complain because I do have. All right, so look, I have Russell Wilson as the number one quarterback this season. I've got Antonio Brown as the number one wide receiver this season. I've got the Jaguars defense, which is the number one defense this season. I've got Le'Veon Bell as the number two running back, and LeSean McCoy as the number eight running back. I've got Evan Engram as the number five tight end. So I've got these like top five players in multiple positions, which is fantastic. But I'm just like, I'm dying searching for wide receivers to fill the I need two wide receivers and a flex. And it just kills me because I was texting with Windsor earlier this week. At one point, I had Robert Woods and I had Juju Smith-Schuster if I had kept those two guys, I would have like the perfect fantasy team right now. And I dropped them. I don't know why. And so now it's just every week is a struggle to figure out like, who am I going to play in wide receiver two, wide receiver three in the flex spot. And, so, you know, right now I've got Tyler Lockett, Kenny Golladay, and Eric Decker in there. And they're the numbers 45, 66, and 89 wide receivers on the season. So it's a massive drop. You have never seen a lineup that has more stars and scrubs than my lineup. So
now let me ask you this, Pete, knowing that going into this week, why did you not consider, maybe you did consider a trade and using some of your stud value to increase your depth ahead of the playoffs?
I'm never trading a stud. Like I'm
okay, fair enough.
I
so my assumption was correct.
Oh, I considered it. I was like, all right, could I trade Antonio Brown and get back like Keenan Allen and Davante Adams? But you know, I've already done that on the opposite side, and I kind of liked how it worked out. So I'm not gonna, you know. So yeah, I'm not.
So studs and duds till the end.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, once you've got a stud, it's just like it's so hard for me to let him go. Like I just want to hold.
I agree.
I just want to hold
think,
it.
I mean,
and, like,
who wins playoffs? Do studs win playoffs? Did you say cuddle?
What?
We're gonna have to go back. gonna have to scrub backwards a little bit on that. We're gonna revisit that clip.
Everyone's talking. No way of knowing what was said.
I'm pretty sure if Brent was on the air right now, he would tell us that depth wins playoffs, and then we would say, Brent, you're 3-8. You don't know what you're talking about.
But I won the championship last year because I added Charles Clay from the waiver wire on championship week, and he went nuts for like 29 points. You know, so it's a total crapshoot. The playoffs are a total crapshoot. I think having studs gives you the best chance, but it's anyone's game. And there's always someone random who goes off and decides a playoff matchup. So that's how I won the championship, but I won week one or week two of the playoffs that year because Le'Veon Bell went absolutely nuts and scored 55 or 60 points on his own with, you know.
And there's always somebody who pops in an ACL.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That hopefully we're past that. I feel like that happens early on in the season. I don't know if that's true. I have no data to back that up. But there have been a lot of...
It's a feel. It's a hope, really.
There have been a lot of ACLs popped this year. And sure. For the sake of fantasy football, you know, who really cares about the NFL itself? I hope that that doesn't continue.
Okay, so here's a question for you, Pete. Who, in your opinion, on your roster or at any point of the season, was on your roster? Whether on your roster currently or at any point of the season was on your roster, who would you say was your personal biggest bust?
Biggest bust. Oh, well, that's easy. Marshawn Lynch. And then I traded him for Terrell Pryor, and then Terrell Pryor is number two as far as bust.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I drafted Marshawn Lynch for way too much money. I don't know how much it was. It was like $40. And then I traded him for Terrell Pryor, who was terrible. And yes, for my team, it looks like Marshawn Lynch scored 25.7 points and Terrell Pryor scored 24.7 points. So, you know, within 1 point of each other. But those two were definitely the biggest busts. I'm very happy. I no longer have to stare at them on my team. And they've been jettisoned into the ether.
Good answer. Okay, Pete, let's do a lightning round really quickly because we've gone through these matchups and it sounds like we've got leanings, but I'd like to hear it just from the mouth of the babe here. Give me your win predictions. You ready?
For this week?
Yep, we'll work backwards. Starting between Chewy and Brent.
Chewy.
How about yourself and Scott?
Myself.
Fitz and Felker?
Felker.
Chris and Derek?
Chris.
Ooh. All right. You want to revisit that one?
I'm going to stick with it just as I think Chris is the better team, but not looking too great. So.
Rock and Jared.
Jared.
And Andy and myself.
Andy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Now, all right. Let's do this. Same thing, except for now we're going to say, you have to name the six playoff teams. Who's going to be in the playoffs? Name the six. All right.
All right. Who's naming them? Me or you?
I'll go first, and then you go, and we'll see if our lists match up.
All right.
All right. So it's going to be me, Chewy, Chris, Seth. So it's Seth, Ben, Andy, and Jared and Brock miss.
All right, so you're saying?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Oh,
it's so it's so hard.
We're talking about the bottom three. Who are the bottom three? We know that Chewy, Pete, and Chris are in.
Yep.
So between myself, Ben, Andy, and Brock, we're picking the bottom three of the playoff positions. On top are Chewy, yourself, and Windsor. So three of the five. Myself, Ben, Andy, Brock, or Jared.
Oh, crap. All right. I think
let's process of elimination. I think we can agree that Jared's in. We don't agree that Jared's in? Ooh. Hang on. So you think that Jared is gonna beat Brock this weekend?
Yeah, and then he plays Scott next week. So all right, so look.
Yeah, he's twofer.
Yeah. So Jared and Andy both have super easy remaining schedules.
Right.
And they should,
with the exception of myself.
Oh yeah, sorry. If Andy wins this, I'm assuming Andy wins this week. That's what I said. So if Andy wins this week, easy schedule, easy win next week, right? Same thing. Okay. Same thing for Jared, and they're looking good for them,
right?
If you win, all right. Sorry. So even if you lose this week,
I thought this was supposed to be a rapid fire. Name the top three.
All right.
But what you're doing is you're playing the odds. You're saying if then.
Well, yeah.
If I win, that of course that changes it. So you have to base your opinion on what you've already called, and that is that Andy beats me. So that's your prediction.
Okay, all right. So if I'm going off of Andy beats you, then it's going to be Ben, Andy, and Jared are going to be the three in, and you and Brock are going to be stuck on the outside, which sucks.
Interesting. So you think that if I lose this week, that I lose out?
Well, because you play Chewy in the final week.
Right.
That's tough.
It is. That's why I want to beat Andy now, so I don't have to sweat it next week.
It's tough.
Okay. So you're drawing the line in the sand.
Yeah.
You're calling Andy, Jared, and Ben.
Yeah.
All right.
That's not what I want, though. Okay.
What do you want to happen, Pete? Just so we can hear it on the air.
I want you to beat Chewy, and then I want Brock to beat.
So you want me to lose to Andy, but then to beat Chewy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want you to lose to Andy.
Well, of course. That's ultimate squish right there.
Right. I want the ultimate squish.
Okay. So ultimate squish situation would be I lose to Andy, but I beat Chewy. And then that means that Ben would need to win against Michael.
And then lose to Brock next.
Lose to Brock. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And that Ben and Brock game is going to be so huge in week 13.
Yep, that is already the game of the week.
Oh yeah, already the game of the
Regardless.
Week.
Regardless, already. All right.
All right. What are your three?
Well, so if I beat Andy, then that does put a lock on it for me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a do or die. But it is a 100% lock if I win this week. Correct? That's not true.
No,
I'm still in tiebreaker situation.
It's still in a tiebreaker situation. So if Andy and Jared, well, no, but that does lock it for you because then Andy can't get to seven wins. He can't get into the tiebreaker. So that does lock it for you.
He can't get to seven wins. That's right, because this is week 12.
I think if Andy loses this week, he's done. Because I think you're going to have seven wins to get in no matter what.
You think so?
Because Ben and Brock play each other in week 13.
Ben and Brock do. Yeah.
That game will give one of them seven wins either way, one way or the other.
Yeah. That's right. So it's basically So for looking at this playoff picture currently, Andy is the only one this week on the line because you got to have seven wins to get in.
Yep.
And there's only two more weeks left. So Andy has to win both. And we said that last time around on the group meet that Andy has to win out, and that is still true.
Yep.
Andy has to win out if he's going to make the playoff picture. I need to win one of the next two games, and Brock needs to win one of his next two games, and Jared needs to win. Hang on. Oh, we're assuming that Jared wins this weekend.
Yep.
Because Jared also has to win one of the next two games. But then he and Andy will be in the tie position.
Ben virtually has to win out. I think Ben might be the only team that has to get to eight wins to get in.
Why is that?
Because
of his score?
His points scored is almost lower than everyone else.
God, this is the best lead. This is so good.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Possibilities are endless.
The fact that we're still talking about this, the fact that it is week 12 and there are four of us out, And yet the remainder of us actually have legitimate stakes to the crown.
Yep.
There is no lingering, dying dog that just needs to be put out. That was terrible. I'm going to edit that out. Wow. There is no, I need a better illustration. Wow. There's no can being kicked down the road that just needs to be kicked off the road. Nope. The dying dog was better.
Hanging Chad?
I don't think that applies.
Just hanging Chad that needs to be just the rest of it snipped off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that. So all that to say, this is incredible. And well, now I'm rethinking what I want to happen. Because part of me likes the idea of losing to Andy only to come back and beat Chewy.
Right.
Which is no skin off of his bones because he's in and he's locked and that extra W doesn't help him in any way. Yeah, no, that's true. So I like the sound of that because that gives a 6-6 Jared and a 6-6 Brock and a 6-6 Andy a turf war week 13.
Yep. Oh, I want it so much. Oh, I hope things break the right way this week.
What would happen if Ben's team just completely flobbed this week? I mean, just laid over and Fitzsimmons comes back and wins a miracle. What would happen? Ben would go to 6-6.
Then
we've already agreed that his points four matter the most. So he's got to win out.
At that point, everyone is in a win and get in situation where if you lose, you're out. If you win, you're in.
Man, see, that's kind of fun too.
Oh yeah. And then Ben or Brock would be out if the other three of you win. If you, Andy, and Jared all won, then Ben or Brock would be out. If any of the three of you lose, one of Ben or Brock is getting it.
Uh-huh. There are so many possibilities. I'm glad we're doing this breakdown. All right. Any other potential here? I don't think anything else. These are the only four games that matter.
I mean, basically, everyone's in a must-win situation after this week.
Uh-huh.
You are the only one, I'd say, who's not in a must-win situation this week.
Mm-hmm. All right. You asked me to call it. I'm going to call it.
All right.
We got Chewy. We got Pete. We got Chris. We got Jared. all right. Well, then I'm going to call it. I'm going to say Jared, myself, and it's Ben or Brock. I think it's going to be Ben.
I think so too. I think his team's better than Brock's right now, which
yeah, I do.
Sucks.
Yep.
Because Ben has scored the third fewest points of the league this season.
Wow.
And as he will be quick to tell you, he's only missed the playoffs once in the last 9 years.
I know. It's magical. I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
So lucky.
Part of me was calling on that.
Yeah, exactly. Just
yeah. So I was looking at it going, okay, I think his team is slightly better than Brock's, but then I got to go on history too.
Yep.
Golly.
Well, this is not helping your blood pressure for this weekend.
No, it certainly is not. I don't want to go into a head-to-head situation where I have to be Chewy.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. No one would.
Nope. But at the same time, Andy is crushing it, and I am already looking at being down on the line currently. And he had a big answer out of his tight end. And, it's going to come down to we need top performances across our entire lineup. And we have a pretty even matchup.
Yep.
It's we have very even matchups. So like I said earlier, it's going to come down to that start-sit decision. And I guarantee you I'm going to be looking at my bench going, dang it, Mike Wallace. I'm going to be sending you some text, Kamish, like, hey, how can you slide my bench player over without anybody noticing? Oh.
I've never done that before, just for the record.
Don't sound so defensive. Very quick. We all assume that the commission has taken a bribe at some point.
Oh.
Well, all right. Well, I think we've picked this apart about every which way.
I think
and,
so.
And it's going to come down to Oh, wait, I forgot. Andy's got a guy on Monday night. Well, there it goes. There it goes. I'm toast.
That's true.
So Andy and Jared and Ben. Man. Well, it certainly is fun seeing how the dice may fall. I'm looking forward to actuality. I'm sure that the group me will be... I don't know. It's kind of been a little cold the past couple of Sundays. I think. What's your take on that? Is it just people are busy, or do you think it's so tense and people are so nervous?
I guess it's more busyness, and some folks are falling out of the lead in terms of ability to make the playoffs. So they become more bystanders, and really, I think people are just not sick of me chatting in game. And so they're trying not to poke the beast in that way. So, but yeah, I hope it picks up for this week for sure.
Yeah, we shall see. Any final remarks as we wrap this one up?
Nope, been a great year. I really hope the finish is as exciting as it could be. It sucked to have all this potential for such a great end to the season be squandered if things don't break the right way. So fingers crossed for the tightest possible finish to the season.
That's right. Now I've got one more thing up my sleeve going on here, and that is the lost episode. This season, earlier this season, you and I had a special guest on in the form of Wookiee of the Year, who joined us early in the season for discussion on his, I think it was week 3, and in his unprecedented start to his first season. And we discussed the curse and the podcast curse and how appearances on the podcast have notably led to the manager's demise. Now, not because I've wanted to, but I've been sitting on that episode and editing that episode and getting that episode out only because of, again, said busyness and travel. However, now here we are on the cusp. Hang on. I'm not threatening the man. I just meant I plan on getting... All I'm saying is I just plan on getting that episode out in the next week.
Wow. This is...
What? What?
It wasn't intentional, but this is so sinister to be holding the podcast first trump card in your pocket until the time when you absolutely need it the most with a final week showdown against the subject of the potential for a curse.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully I'll beat Andy this weekend, but we shall see.
I mean, like, you should hold it over his head and be like, if you don't bench some player, I'm pushing.
Now that's sinister. You want to talk about sinister? I'm talking about intentional bribery.
Look, you're not far. God,
that's blackmail.
You're not far from it. You know, it's a slippery slope, my friend, and you're dancing on it. So.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've sold my soul for fantasy football.
We all have. You're with friends.
Tonight we dine in hell, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in tonight.